A critical look at the sharing economy. Unless you've been living under a rock, you must have heard about the positive changes that the sharing economy is bringing about. Airbnb has been praised for helping homeowners make the most of their properties for extra income. Uber arrived on the scene with attractive pricing and created millions of much-needed jobs. Thousands of online platforms have sprung up, allowing people to make money from their underused resources, be these assets, time, space, or skills. One can easily be won over by the basic concept of a sharing economy, anticipating that it can create a better future for everyone by transforming idle resources into gold mines. But is that really the case? In 2007, the year that brought us Airbnb and the Great Recession, I wrote a column for the Daily News arguing that the sharing economy would go sour and turn into a scam to dodge good regulations and become a new form of exploitation. Even though I cited concrete evidence for my arguments, its defenders called me a naysayer and said I was conducting a premature post-mortem. The past decade has presented us with a mixed picture when it comes to the impact that the sharing economy has had. While it's undeniable that well-managed sharing economy projects have brought about opportunity and efficiency, drawbacks have also been exposed. The rise of non-standard employment and the insecurity that comes with it is just one of the problems that has surfaced along with the benefits. Supporters of the sharing economy like to talk about the earning possibilities it has opened up. Why leave your car in the garage when you can become Uber's driver partner and earn $1,000 a week? But if the truth be told, the so-called platforms are run by profiteers, taking advantage of those who need to rent out their resources to make ends meet. In 2014, Uber was charged for exploiting its drivers, wrongly naming them as independent contractors to avoid offering them the remuneration package they deserved. Despite being held up as the most prominent example of the brilliance and ease of making a profit from sharing, Airbnb has grown by exploiting loopholes. It has been in dispute with regulators over whether its listings meet the safety and insurance requirements imposed on standard hostels and hotels. It was not until 2014, 7 years after it made its first appearance, that Airbnb promised to offer $1 million liability coverage that would cover hosts. Still, it raised suspicions over whether Airbnb intended to push any claims for guests, injuries, and deaths through the host's own insurance companies first. If the current picture of the sharing economy looks bleak, the future looks even worse. Already there are various platforms that allow us to be part-time tour guides, Sam the locals. We can even call ourselves home chefs and share whatever we make with our guests for a fee. Plate culture. You can put your profile on Pausable if you want to earn extra cash by looking after someone's pets during your spare time. Without defining the people who work for them as employees, these companies not only save the trouble of paying high taxes, but also the costs of providing certain benefits and protection. As the concept of collaborative consumption continues to explode, more startups will jump on the bandwagon to get a slice of the action. The question is, are these companies developing into legitimate business models, or are they finding ways to exploit loopholes, like Airbnb and Uber have done? With the advantage of offering flexibility to workers who are taking a second job or looking for flexible work schedules, the sharing economy could fuel the destruction of stable jobs and hence create a land of dubious non-standard work. This is not to say that the sharing economy is completely a bad thing, but as this essay has hopefully illustrated, it would be wise for us to question what the sharing economy is all about and what it has to offer. If not, we will risk losing more than we ultimately gain.